The Coram Deo Church Community is a missional church rooted in historic, biblical Christianity and committed to cultural engagement. We hope the message you're about to hear spurs you to deeper reflection on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening.
Our scripture reading this morning is Psalm 4. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, "Who will show us some good?" Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grains and wine abound. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. The word of God for the people of God.
Amen. Good morning, Coram Deo. How are you? Good. As Bob said, my name is Adam, and it is a pleasure to be with you this morning. Well, according to a study conducted a few years ago, it was predicted that Americans would waste more than 900 million hours waiting on hold for customer service in 2016. 900 million hours Americans would waste. That was in 2016. Surely that number has only increased. And another survey concluded that the average American will spend 43 days, listen to this, 43 days of his or her lifetime on hold. That's not depressing. I don't know what is. Interestingly, and I thought this was kind of funny, that same survey found that Nebraskans were among the most impatient. You see, you and I were most likely, as we're waiting on hold, to just hang up the phone. We don't like to wait, do we? And waiting on hold for customer service, is it or is it not the worst kind of waiting? First of all, there's the music. It's not very good. It's way too loud. And then there's that recorded voice that reminds us. You know it. Your call is very important to us. I did a little math. Now, if the average American spends 43 days on hold waiting for customer service, that means that you and I will be reminded of just how important our call is approximately 20,640 times in our lifetime. But here's the thing, as much as we dislike waiting, as much as we dislike being on hold, what choice do we have? If we could do the Nebraska thing, be impatient and hang up, what hope waits for us? We just have to pick up the phone and call after we cool off, and we end up at the back of the queue, and it all starts over again. Here's a little trick that I like to employ. You can use this if you want. Sometimes I sigh really loudly, like, just in case someone's listening. I talk about how disappointed I am in the company or the organization that's put me on hold, just in case they have some employee not answering calls but listening in on my waiting, which makes no sense at all. When you're on hold, you're powerless, aren't you? There's nothing you can do about it except wait. And I wonder how many of us would say that this is what our prayer life feels like? I dial up, I call out, I make my request made known to God, and then I wait and feel powerless, wondering, did he even hear what I had to say? Why hasn't he answered? How long will I have to sit here and wait? And so maybe that's where you are right now this morning. Maybe you come into this place and you're weary, you're tired, you're despairing, you're in the midst of some trial, you've cried out to the Lord, and now you wait. And it seems as though you've heard nothing. It seems as though perhaps he's not there, perhaps he's not listening. And this is where our psalmist this morning, King David, finds himself. He's cried out to the Lord in a time of need, and now he waits. And what he's going to do for us this morning, he's going to offer hope to those of us who are waiting on the Lord. And ultimately, he's going to paint a picture for us of what it looks like as the people of God to wait well. To wait well. And if we boil all of this down, here's this big idea. Because the Lord hears his people when they call, they can wait for him with confidence. Because the Lord hears his people when they call, they can wait for him with confidence. And so as we work through this psalm, we're going to look at three things. Number one, I'm going to look at David's cry. We're going to look at David as he calls out to the Lord, just like you and I have so many times. Number two, David's hope. What hope does David have as he cries out? And then number three, David's response to this hope. And so join me then. Verse 1, Psalm 4. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? So we see David, our psalmist, he's in some kind of distress here. We don't know the exact nature of the distress. We only know that the distress involves men. And these men have launched some kind of smear campaign. They're seeking to turn David's honor into shame. They're opposing him, most likely with words. They're attacking his name, his position, his worth, his worthiness to be called king. And this smear campaign is composed largely of lies and falsehoods. How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? This is like the original fake news. Right? This is what they're doing. They're spreading fake news about King David. They're heaping shame upon his name, seeking to destroy his honor. And so David's response rightly is to cry out to God. That's what we see in the opening verse of this psalm. Answer me when I call. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. Now, on the one hand, I want you to notice the boldness of this prayer. These are imperatives. These are commands. That he's saying to God. And so on the one hand, there's a degree of boldness, but on the other hand, there's angst, there's tension here, isn't there? We see tension in David's cry. You see, he cries out to God seeking an answer, but it's obvious that the Lord has yet to answer. The Lord has yet to deliver him. The Lord has yet to save him from this smear campaign. And so, he does what so many of us are doing right now. He waits. Twice in verse 2, David asks the question that so many of us are asking, how long? How long? The question is directed not at the Lord, but the men. How long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? So this is David's cry. Answer me, Lord. Be gracious to me, Lord. Come to my rescue, Lord. How long, then? How long will you seek to turn my honor to shame and spread these lies and falsehood? And it's on the heels of this cry, then, David shares with us his hope. That's point two, verse three. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself, and therefore the Lord hears when I call to him. David's hope this morning is this, that the Lord has set apart a people for himself, and that he hears them when they call out to him. You see, David knows, he's confident that he is one of those who have been set apart by the Lord. He is a part of the called out, set apart people of God. And so, therefore, he can be confident that the Lord hears him when he calls to him. And so, in other words, what David is saying here is this: because the Lord chose me, he hears me. That's a simple truth. Because the Lord chose me, he hears me. Coram Deo. David's hope is your hope this morning. If you are united with Christ through faith, then you belong to the Lord's called out, set apart people. He chose you, and because he chose you, he hears you when you cry out to him. And listen to this. He doesn't hear you because you're worthy of being heard. This is important. If he only hears you because you're worthy of being heard, then you can never be quite sure if he hears you. You'll always be asking yourself questions like this: Did I read the Bible enough this week? Was three devotionals this week enough for the Lord to listen to me, for the Lord to hear me? You've missed gospel community not 1 week, but 2 weeks in a row. We call this a trend. Does the Lord hear you when you're trending in that direction? Are you worthy of being heard? Parents, you lost it on your kids again this week. You yelled at them again, does he hear you? David's hope is not that if we make ourselves worthy of being heard, that he hears us, but rather that he chose us, he made us worthy, and therefore he hears us. You see, it's not because of your own merit that you are heard, but because by his free and unconditional election, he chose you before the foundation of the world to be blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That you should be holy and blameless before him, that you should be adopted as sons and daughters of the King through Christ Jesus. He hears you because he chose you to be heard. What a glorious truth. What a glorious truth. What a simple truth, but what a glorious truth. We could spend hours, we could spend days exploring its implications. Listen to what 19th century preacher Charles Spurgeon says about this verse. He says, "Election is the guarantee of complete salvation and an argument for success at the throne of grace. He who chose us for himself will surely hear our prayer. The Lord's elect shall not be condemned, nor shall their cry be unheard. David was king by divine decree, and we are the Lord's people in the same manner." Stop. We are the Lord's people by divine decree. If you find yourself in Christ through faith in Christ, let us tell our enemies to their faces that they fight against God and destiny when they strive to overthrow our souls. Oh, beloved, when you are on your knees, the fact of your being set apart as God's own peculiar treasure should give you courage and inspire you with fervency and faith. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? Since he chose to love us, he cannot help, or he cannot but choose to hear us. Since the maker and the sustainer of all things chose to love us, he cannot but choose to hear us. And as a good father, he gives you his attention right here, right now. He's giving you his undivided attention. Do you know he's not too busy? He's not looking at his phone. He's not distracted. He's not indifferent to the sound of your voice. He's not ignoring you. He's not annoyed by the smallness of your request. He's not overwhelmed by the greatness of your request. And he hasn't put you on hold. Listen to the Apostle John. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. He chose you, and he hears you. And because that is true, you can cry out to him and then wait for him with patient confidence, knowing that you have the request that you have asked of him. David's hope is that he is heard. Your hope, as you cry out to God, is that you are heard. And that brings us then to our third point, David's response to this hope. In light then of this hope, David instructs us on how to wait well for the Lord. And David's response is threefold. The first thing he tells us is this: ponder. Ponder. Look at verse 4. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. So remember where David finds himself. He's smack dab in the middle of a smear campaign that's been launched against him. He's being opposed by men and lies and their schemes. Does he have grounds to be angry? Is an injustice being done to him? Absolutely. And so we see the words here that are quoted in Ephesians: be angry and do not sin. Be angry? Yes. The opposition that David is facing is unjust. But on your bed, and isn't our beds, isn't this the place where the worries and the anxieties and the troubles and the distress of the day catch up to us? As much as we busy ourselves and immerse ourselves in the noise of the world, isn't it when we're laying on our beds in the still and the quiet of the night or the early morning? Isn't that when it all comes flooding? So David had a choice to make. He could lie on his bed, seething in anger, and plot his revenge. Remember, the Lord hasn't answered him yet. There's no resolution yet. But he says, be angry, do not sin. And so when you're left alone with your thoughts and your fears and your anger, will you choose to trust the Lord, or will you choose to take matters into your own hands and in some way, somehow, assume control of the situation? But he tells us, ponder in your own hearts and be silent. This, should cause us to ask the question, what? He doesn't tell us explicitly. What is it that we're supposed to ponder? I think we could go back to verse 1. He calls the Lord, he says, O God of my righteousness. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. One of the things that I think David is pondering on his bed is this, that the Lord is the ultimate source of his righteousness. The Lord is the ultimate judge of his righteousness. The Lord is the ultimate bestower of his righteousness. His righteousness doesn't come at the hands of men. Rather, his righteousness is only from the Lord, and he's secure in that righteousness in the face of men who are threatening to dismantle his reputation. Also in verse 1, he reminds himself in the Lord, you have given me relief when I was in distress. Perhaps we could ponder as we lie silently in our beds, perhaps we could ponder God's faithfulness over time. Perhaps you could remind yourselves the ways in which the Lord has proved himself to be faithful over and over and over again in your own life. Perhaps you could remind yourselves of story after story after story of the Lord's faithfulness over the course of redemptive history. Ponder God's holiness, that he's completely other. What about his omniscience? What if we pondered his omniscience? He's not ignorant. He knows about your distress, even the parts that you didn't share with him. He knows it all. His omnipotence, his might and his power to respond to you, to answer you, his sovereignty in a time when it feels like the world is spinning into chaos and it feels like you're quickly losing control of your world. Perhaps you could ponder the fact that you don't have to be in control because he is. How about his perfect, just character? He's just and he hates injustice. He hates the injustice being done to David, and he hates the injustice that's been done to you. God's merciful character, his steadfast love, on and on and on we could go. Be silent before the Lord. Be angry and do not sin. And ponder. Our hope is that he hears us. And so now we can wait in silence and we can be reminded of who he is. We can be reminded of his faithfulness, be reminded of his great and steadfast love for us. We can be reminded that he's in control and that he will use our distress and our trial for our good and for his glory. Number two, he says, trust. Verse 5, offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. You see, as we cry out to the Lord and as we are forced to wait on him, our temptation is going to be to withhold worship until we get the answer that we're looking for. Until we get the answer that we're looking for, the sufficient answer, our temptation is going to be like the many in this passage. We're going to interrogate the Lord. Who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. Why won't you bless me? And so because you're not blessing me, I'm going to withhold from you. Make my grain and my wine abound. And David's instruction to us is to offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. Continue your acts of worship. And so if you are waiting on the Lord, if you've been waiting for a long time and you feel as though he has not responded to you in the manner that you would like, that David's exhortation to you this morning is continue worshiping, continue coming here on Sunday mornings and gathering with your church family, continue immersing yourself in the scriptures, continue falling on your knees before him and making your request known to him through prayer, continue to stay engaged in your gospel community, living out the gospel in the context of that community. And then watch your heart. In the process, Psalm 51 reminds us what right worship and trust and sacrifice looks like. Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Continue to worship and don't withhold. Don't withhold your heart. That's what the Lord is after. Don't go cold. Don't shut down. Don't just go through the motions. The Lord isn't after your empty actions. The Lord wants your heart. And so continue to repent of sin. Continue to believe the gospel and abide in Christ. Continue to delight in the one who is the source of all joy. As we see here in the psalm, the Lord is a source of all joy, the best joy, true joy, joy that isn't dependent upon situation or circumstance, joy that isn't dependent upon our wine and our grain abounding or any such thing. So ponder, trust, and then finally, sleep. Verse 8, in peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. That's what I want you to notice about the conclusion of this psalm. It doesn't end with any kind of resolution. Do you notice that? David doesn't relieve the tension at the end of the psalm. The Lord hasn't crushed the heads of his enemies. That's a different psalm for a different week. You see, the promise of this psalm and the hope of this psalm isn't that your trial or your distress will end, but rather that the Lord will give you peace and even joy in the midst of it. So David, having submitted himself to the will and the timing of the Lord, he lies down. David lies down in peace at the end of the day. True peace. He can rest. He can sleep knowing that his cry has been heard and that his safety and his security is found in the sovereign and loving hand of the Lord. Coram Deo, the Lord offers peace to those who trust them in the midst of their distress. And the Lord hears the cry of his people. And because he hears us, we can wait for him with confidence. And so just let me ask in closing, are you suffering this morning? Are you in distress? Is your heart troubled and anxious? Are men and women seeking to heap shame upon you? Is the accuser seeking to heap shame upon you this morning? Cry out to the Lord, knowing that if you belong to him through faith in the Son of God, that he hears you when you call to him. And as you wait for him, you can wait for him with confidence, pondering his perfect and holy character and nature, his faithfulness to you and to his people throughout the course of history. You can trust him, offering him right sacrifice, delighting in him, and experiencing his joy that rises above your suffering, above your trial, and above your circumstance. And as you lie down tonight, though you find yourself in the midst of distress, you can lie down and sleep in peace, knowing that while he may seem slow to respond, his timing is ever perfect. And he loves you. And by his mighty and sovereign hand, he makes you to dwell in safety. Let's pray. Father, I can think of no more glorious truth this morning than this, that you chose me in Christ before the foundation of the world, and therefore you hear me. Lord, would you impress that truth upon my heart and the hearts of my brothers and sisters here? Lord, would you make us a people who are quick to cry out to you, impatient to wait for you, and confidence, trusting in your good and perfect character. Father, as we lay our heads on our pillows tonight, would you give us peace and make us to dwell in safety? We ask these things in Christ Jesus' name.